Hey, this is Dr. Shervin. Muskoka Magazine is brought to you by Dairy Lane Dental, keeping Muskoka smiling for over 30 years. Please visit DairyLaneDental.com.
Welcome. You're listening to Muskoka Unlimited on 88.7 FM The Bay and MuskokaUnlimited.com. Thanks for listening. We have a great guest to chat with today. Let's get right into it. All right. Welcome, everybody, to the show. If you don't know what you're listening to, it's the Muskoka Unlimited podcast on 88.7 FM, as well online at MuskokaUnlimited.com. Today, I have a very special guest, very interesting cat. We became Facebook friends through mutual friends. He's got a lot of very interesting opinions on a lot of very interesting subjects. We're going to talk about that. Welcome, Dick Fairthorn II.
Hey, good to see you, Chris.
So, Dick, we're going to jump right into this. The first thing I want to talk to you about was, I know you're a musician by trade and at heart. And talk to me a little bit about your music career and some of the things you've got going on right now.
Sure. Well, so obviously with this virus going around, everything sort of slowed down on the live scene. So for when I was in the city and moved to Huntsville a few years ago. And when I was in the city, I had a really active live music thing going on. And I was working weekends and doing, 3 to 5 shows a weekend, just playing with different players. And since I came here and since COVID has come around, obviously I'm not doing any live at all. But I've got a cool project I'm working on right now. I've started taking some of my older, like, progressive style songs and started recording them at home. And I'm hoping to be putting out an EP at some point within the next probably 5 or 6 months.
Oh, cool.
To get some of that music out there, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And I noticed, speaking of the social media presence, you do some covers. You do In Keys covers.
So, that about? That's actually that was definitely a response to COVID. And I'll be honest with you, man, I started feeling depressed. And I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
A lot of people were feeling depressed and isolated I live by myself. And there was literally no one to see. So when I'd go out to jams. Sean Cotton used to have a jam down the road, and he had another one up in Berks Falls.
Yep.
And I would go to those things, and it would be my occasional relief from the fact that I do most of my work at home right now.
Yeah.
But that relief is just, it's gone. So I had to find something to do that I could do on a regular basis, maybe as a...
Yes.
I sat down and I have a keyboard at home, and I decided it's time to start playing in keys, so to speak. And I do simple covers of popular tunes. And I think so far I've put out Mercy Street by Peter Gabriel. I did a Nine Inch Nails cover.
Yeah, I saw that one, yeah.
And a Foo Fighters cover.
Oh, cool.
Which I really enjoyed that one because it had some more intricate piano parts in it. But it all started with a cover of Home, a song by Monowail.
Yes.
Really cool band I got to mix in Toronto. Really loved their stuff. I didn't know how to go about getting licensing for the songs and stuff yet. And I figured, let's cheat a little and play one of our friends' tunes.
Yeah.
So, and the great part was they were charting on Billboard at the time I released it. And Sally contacted me the next day and said, she's the singer. She contacted me the next day and said, dude, you can cover us anytime you want.
Nice.
And they even made a little promotional video
to help you along.
Yeah, it was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, one of the most encouraging things I could do during like an epidemic, just make some music and get a little bit of an endorsement from people that I respected enough to cover. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so cool. I mean, it's so cool because it speaks to the community of musicians, especially in Canada, where there seems to be a really tight-knit community. People like to jam with each other. People like to hang out with each other. You know, they don't mind if you cover your tunes, and they'll even give you a shout out, especially if you do it well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so what's that been like, meeting all these different musicians over your life? I know you're originally, from New York, right?
Yeah.
Originally.
So I was born in New York, although I didn't really spend any time there.
Okay.
I'm what's lovingly referred to as an anchor baby.
Okay.
My folks had me in New York because my dad thought it would be beneficial for me to have U.S. citizenship.
Oh, okay.
And, but he was, my parents were British and have become Canadian since then.
Gotcha.
So I've spent my entire life in Canada, or most of it.
Yeah.
But I am not a Canadian citizen. I'm actually a U.S. citizen with a Canadian permanent residency, which is why when you see me talking about politics, I'm often talking about U.S. politics because that's where I get to cast my
vote. Yes, fair enough. Right. So you can't vote here at all?
I can't vote here.
Oh.
And, it's probably not that difficult for me to get Canadian citizenship, having lived here for 41 years or something. But I guess I was focusing on playing piano.
That's it. Just focused on the music and you're not worried about that. No, but that's okay too, right? Like, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, you've got your permanent resident card. You've got your U.S. citizenship. You vote, obviously, in the States.
Yeah, I do vote in the U.S. Okay. I don't vote in every election. I vote when I think it's really important.
Okay.
And interestingly, I voted Obama in 2008.
Yes.
And I'm sure I'm going to get heat for this, but I'm probably going to vote Trump in 2020.
Now, that's an interesting... And now we should go into that, because... Okay. Because that's what I find interesting. I see some of your views, and because some of the stuff we agree on when I see you posting it, because I'm like, yeah, that's just a common sense view. That's not a party view. That's a common sense view.
Right.
But then sometimes you have very conservative views, right? And what is it that draws you to Trump or some of the conservative views that you have?
Well, so this is interesting, and I find it funny that you have to ask. And the reason I find it funny is because I think that most people would have to ask.
Yes.
And the media doesn't really say very much about the positive things that have occurred as a result of Trump's presidency. Okay. Or let's say during Trump's presidency. Yes. Because not all of them can necessarily be proven to have happened because of anything that Trump did.
Yes.
But I'll give some examples. Unemployment figures were so low that and this is weird because I don't actually see this in the media at all, but the... what's the word for it? The racial disparity in unemployment decreased under Trump, meaning all unemployment went down, which is fantastic.
Yes.
But it went down, and then if you look at black unemployment, it went down more than white unemployment.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually more beneficial to black people than it was to white people. Now, there's a lot of theories about why this happened, and probably the reason why it happened is because unemployment went so low that people who previously wouldn't have bet on a black person now... are betting on a black person.
Gotcha.
But for me, that's how you get equality in the marketplace. You make the economic conditions so good that people have to try everyone.
Yes.
And when people try everyone, eventually everyone's given this opportunity.
Yeah.
Something becomes normalized. And in this particular case, hopefully what we're going to find out is all these black people that got employed, they're great workers. They're doing a wonderful job. Yeah. They might be the first person who gets the phone call next time.
Right? Yes. Or they get promoted because they're working hard and they're doing a great job.
That's right. And, it's the lowest black unemployment that has ever occurred in the recorded history of the United States.
Seriously?
Absolutely seriously. Now, unfortunately, the recorded history of black unemployment in the United States, I think it goes back to just the 50s or something.
Okay.
Like that. Something about them not being considered full people before that or something or another. I don't even... People are going to hate that I laugh at that. But, we're lucky. We're not living in that time anymore.
No,
we're not. So I feel... but I'm not really laughing at the idea that black people weren't full people.
No.
I'm laughing at the idea that we still consider that to be such a major issue.
Gotcha.
Where really we just have a whole new set of issues and we're not focusing on them because I think we're looking back a little bit.
Yeah, fair enough.
You can't take away the fact that terrible things happen. But what we can do is try to focus on the ways to most rapidly increase the quality of life for people in the black community.
Yeah.
Or any community. Honestly, I don't like to be identitarian about
it.
No,
I know.
But the reason I push these identitarian ideas in this case is because I feel that society predominantly is calling this guy a racist.
Yeah.
And I don't see it.
Okay.
I don't see it.
And I can see that viewpoint. I think he's a misogynist.
Yeah, I believe that.
And I think his actions and his words have shown that.
Yeah.
I don't know if his actions and words have shown he's an outright racist. And I can see that viewpoint, because I think his actions, I don't think he should be president, just like I don't think Biden should be president, because I don't think they're worthy of being president, because they both got their lack of leadership qualities.
Yeah.
In my opinion. And
now,
thankfully, I don't have to vote in the States. And I posted that on your Facebook page saying, like, everybody, like, I don't believe either one of them should be. And thankfully, I don't have to vote for one of them. But I can see your viewpoint. Now, where do you think that comes from, where it's kind of like, there's enough things that Trump has done wrong. Okay. Why are you now fabricating things or assuming things?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you this. When Trump was first elected, I don't think that I was pro-Trump. In fact, I think I don't think I was pro-Hillary either.
Yeah.
But out of the two, I probably would have been more likely to support Hillary.
Yeah.
After the election was, and I know things now that I didn't know then. Retrospectively, I probably would have made a different decision.
Yeah.
But I felt so uncertain about it, I didn't vote in the 2016 election.
Gotcha.
But when I saw people start attacking Trump in ways that I immediately knew were unfair.
Yeah.
I was still on the side of the Democrats at that time. And so I started saying, look, guys, stop doing this. You'll have no credibility going forward if you keep saying things that are exaggerated. I said, if this guy is bad, and I believed that he was, I said, if this guy is bad, don't overemphasize it. All it does is take away your credibility.
Yeah.
Say, even if it's unsensational, just say what's really bad.
The facts.
Yeah, say the facts. Because at the end of the day, people will believe unsensational facts.
It's true.
They'll believe they're true. You might get more media hype out of the sensationalized garbage.
Yes.
But you're also going to get more pushback.
Yeah.
And I just think
that's what happened.
Yeah. And I just think that, you know, the honesty can be really unfantastic.
It's true.
But I think we sort of know what it feels like. You know, I think it wins in the long run. Maybe not always right away, but I think it wins in the long run.
But you're right. I think you're right about the point that being sensationalistic actually backfired on the Democratic Party in the United States.
Yeah.
I think it it caused them to lose credibility with a lot of voters like yourself who are kind of torn or who are leaning one way a little bit or, you know what I mean, not really full in on anyone.
Yeah.
And I think that if we get back to facts, and something that I pointed out to you is that, you know, back in the day in Canada, the Liberal Party used to call themselves the Immigrant Party. They would always promote, we're the Immigrant Party and so on and so forth. And then all the immigrants, and as I'm a child of two immigrants, that's what it was. Oh, you got to vote for that. Now, my dad, thankfully, is common sense, an intelligent individual who was like, no, I don't just vote for someone because you think that I should vote for someone. I want to hear all the facts. I want to hear all the, you know. I want to hear what their policies are. I want to hear what their good and bad points are. What do I agree with the most? And then make my decision, right?
Yeah, 100%. So. Quite frankly, one of the things that offends me the most is the idea. Well, you saw the Biden comment.
Yeah.
You ain't black, man. I mean, that was particularly, for anyone who doesn't know what it was, Joe Biden was doing an interview with
Charlemagne. God. Yeah.
Thank you. And who's a black guy, which I guess matters for the purpose of the story.
Yeah.
And made the comment when asked about his policies. He made the comment, hey, look, if you're having a hard time deciding between me and Trump, then you ain't black, man.
I know.
And the thing is, for Democrats, perhaps, who don't have necessarily this idea of the bigotry, there's this thing called the bigotry of low expectations, where you expect a certain thing out of a group.
Yes.
And conservatives are constantly accusing Democrats of the bigotry of low expectations. They expect that a group is going to act a certain way. They expect that they're going to have certain ideas and opinions. It's not like saying that we're not going to hire you. It's just saying we know who you are because of what color your skin is.
Yeah.
And when Joe Biden said that, for millions of conservatives, it just solidified the idea that he had this form of bigotry.
Yes.
What he expected, he absolutely expected that everyone who was black would vote Democrat. And I think it just turned off a huge, huge chunk of black voters immediately.
Tremendously. On that note, it looks like we're going to take our quick commercial break.
All right.
You're listening to Muskoka Unlimited podcast/show on 88.7 FM or on our website, MuskokaUnlimited.com. We're here with Dick Fairthorne in a second. Come right back, folks, okay?
I'm Dr. Shervin from Dairy Lane Dental, and you're listening to Muskoka Magazine.
All right, welcome back to the show. If you haven't been listening, this is the Muskoka Unlimited podcast on 88.7 FM, The Bay. And also, if you're listening online, MuskokaUnlimited.com. I'm here back with my very special guest, and he's making some really interesting points, and not all of you are going to agree with them, but that's okay. That's diversity of thought, folks. That's true diversity.
I like that.
And so, Dick Fairthorne II, we were talking about Joe Biden. We're talking about the Democrats or the Liberals in Canada, how they tend to want people they want to be the immigrant party, and you were about to say something about, you know, new voter base and whatnot. Just
So I guess what I was going to say is that I made that comment about Biden, but I was doing it in the light that not only do the Democrats expect black and other minority voters to necessarily vote Democrat, but a lot of people think that one of the reasons that they want to promote immigration so much is not because of any ideological reason, but rather because they want more voters for their party.
Fair enough.
And that's, a lot of conservatives believe that.
Yep.
And they think that the Democrats are not, they don't want to be discerning about who comes into the country. Listen, my family is immigrants. My parents came from England.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamaica, and they had to meet a whole bunch of requirements to come into the country. Now, I think it's a fair discussion to have about whether the requirements are too strict or too lax, whether the requirements are one thing or another. But the idea that there should be fully open borders and the requirements shouldn't be checked at all, I think that's kind of a kick in the teeth to the people who busted their ass to get here.
Yes.
I don't know if language.
Sorry. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay.
Who busted their butts to get here.
All right.
And it potentially has highly negative effects on the population, not because of the race of the people coming in, but because if you indiscriminately let people in, you're going to let in good people and you're going to let in bad people.
It's true.
I know that there's bad people here already. That doesn't mean that we should have.
It's true. Right? No, and that's a fair point. I think that's a fair point. And I do think immigration laws and what you have to go through to be in the country. Because I remember like my family's had to get sponsored by people. They had to prove a whole bunch
of
stuff.
It's hard, and
that showed they really wanted to be here.
Yeah,
right. And if you don't have to go through that, what does that mean? Like, does that not like? I think people that have to go through that whole process of almost earning their stripes.
Yeah,
right. Earning their Canadian stripes. I think that that's okay because it shows that person really cares about being a Canadian citizen.
Right.
Really cares about living in Canada. If you're just saying no, anybody can come in with no borders and this and that. And I'm a pretty liberal cat on a lot of issues, but this is one of the things I lean a little more to the conservative point of view, that there should be regulation.
Yeah.
Because it's unfair to all those, like you said, your family, my family, people who worked hard to get here, people who worked hard to be Canadians or Americans or whomever, right? It's not right to just throw all that away and be like, oh, here you go, anybody now.
Yeah.
Right?
And it potentially lowers the quality of life for people here because it doesn't take a million terrible immigrants to lower the quality of life in a country.
Yeah.
100 bad people can make a population of a million notably worse.
Yeah.
Right? It's just a matter of trying to do what's... And again, this is why the nationalism issue, I think, has become such a thing in the U.S. between Democrats and Republicans. Because there's some degree of nationalism to saying, I want good people to come in my country because I want my country to be as good as it can.
Yes.
However, if you look back historically, that wasn't considered ultra-nationalism.
No.
Any liberal would have agreed with that at some point. Something's gone click in people's heads.
Yeah.
And they're espousing views that just wouldn't have been considered reasonable 5 years ago.
It's true.
And maybe that thing is social media.
Yeah, maybe.
I think
it's the extreme. No, I agree. I think it's the extremists. Yeah. I think the extremists are the loudest voices on every side right now.
And yes.
On every side. Like, you know, people like us who we have some common sense. We might disagree on some things, but agree on other things. And like I disagree on voting for Trump because of many reasons and whatnot. But that doesn't mean that I don't respect your opinion, your right to do so.
Right.
You know, but what happens is we have conversations and a lot of people can have normal conversations, but the extremists seem to be so loud.
Yes.
That it takes over the voice of the masses who are actually kind of in between everything.
Well, I'm not going to say that that's the intent of social media, but I'm going to say that social media, let's say it was created with the intent of making money, it was a known and predictable side effect of social media. It's a side effect that we've seen, and it's very well understood how it works. Mm-hmm. It's really this simple. Social media is drugs, and here's how it works. When you post something online, and I press that like button, you get a little hit of dopamine. Yeah. So people start, you know, farming likes.
Yes.
They start farming that dopamine. They're literally trading their labor posting on Facebook for that dopamine. But here's the thing. Facebook, and not just Facebook, but YouTube and all the other platforms, they have artificial intelligence robots. And what those artificial intelligence robots do is they try to correlate the things that people say to the number of responses that they get in order to farm the greatest amount of dopamine because it increases they're farming engagement. But what it is it's that dopamine going nuts in your brain. So you keep pressing those buttons and they keep presenting those articles. So let me ask you a question. What types of statements and articles do you think most engage people pressing the like, dislike, laugh, and all those buttons? It's the ones to which we have the greatest emotional responses.
Yes.
We're farming extremism.
It's true. No, but it's true. And sometimes I find it interesting because it's like something will pop up on my screen and I'll say, okay, like, and I'll look at the headline and it's like, I don't even want to click on the article because I know it's just a clickbait headline for likes or things. And people don't read the articles. And I like to read the articles because I like to say, okay, what is this really saying? And people just see that headline. They're like, blah, 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 blah. And then they start commenting. And I'm like, and then you see people like us who actually have read the article will start commenting against the comments and be like, wait, did you read the article?
Yeah,
did you,
because you know? How often does the content of the article actually correlate directly to the headline?
Rarely.
It's almost always at very least, it's almost always highly deceptive.
Yes.
The headline.
Almost.
Yeah.
And it's just trying to get that engagement.
You need
right?
that engagement. That engagement keeps you online. It keeps you buying the products that are behind. The funny thing is, I love capitalism. I think it's great. But I think the idea of farming, I think that it's
disingenuous in a sense.
I was going to say that, and then I wanted to say that it's inconsiderate. It sounds like an underwhelming word, but it's really inconsiderate to the population, maybe damaging to the population, to use that approach to moving product. Where yes. we need to move product so bad that we're willing to mess with how people perceive the world in order to
yeah.
in order to move it.
Yeah, and
it's the most anti-capitalism thing I've said in my life.
I know. I know, but I mean, you're right though, right? Like they are, and all it's doing is firing people up. Like I remember I wrote a column because my wife's a PSW in the community.
Yeah.
And I wrote a column because people were like, thank you to those grocery stores and thank you to the nurses and doctors. I'm like, what about these PSW who are like one of the hardest working people. They're on the real front lines,
yeah.
not behind glasses. Like yeah, they're literally yeah. touching and cleaning and helping old people and young people and whoever needs their help.
Yeah.
Like they're face to face. If someone pukes on them,
yeah.
right? And nobody was giving them the props. So I wrote a whole column about that.
Yeah.
And in the column, I said, you know, much love to the nurses, the doctors, and the other, you know, other workers, essential workers who are out there doing their jobs. But, you know, blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
This is why they haven't got any credit and I want to give them credit. And it got a ton of shares and likes from people who are in the PSW community or married to them or whatever. But then one lady, she's like, I want to thank all essential workers and I don't care what you say. That's what I want to thank. But all she read was the headline, which was props to PSWs.
Yeah.
And I said, did you read the article? This was not about, and I responded, right? Because I was like,
well, we're so accustomed to confrontational behavior in social media. If anyone sounds like they might disagree with you in any way, shape, or form, then we're expecting full hostility and full complete disagreement on every single thing on the face of the planet.
It's true.
And so when you say support to the PSWs, what people hear is, screw everybody who's not a PSW.
I know. I know.
It's unbelievable. It's back in the days, I used to run a bulletin board.
Yeah.
It was like a hacking bulletin board. I was a little hacker kid. Yeah, nice. And we noted at that time that you can't really tell the demeanor of someone when they're posting unless they use smiley faces and emoticons. And that's why that kind of thing came about. But I often, when I post, I intentionally leave out the emoticons and the smiley faces because I realize everyone's going to read this in the voice that they're projecting on everyone who disagrees with them.
Ah, and
you can tell from the reactions immediately how this person perceives the world.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You can point out a simple fact
yes.
and get incredibly hostile reactions.
It's true. It's so true. All right, we're going to stop there, and we're going to end the show here, guys. I'm sorry we're out of time, but
oh, wow.
Dick is staying with me. We're going to record some more. We're going to have a Dick Fairthorn, a second part two show on for you guys to listen to, because we've got a lot more to go over. There's a ton of stuff going on, and if we keep going, we'll just keep going and recording more shows, and you'll just have lots of awesome stuff to listen to. Dick, thanks for being here.
Awesome. And thank you for having me.
And thanks for sticking around to do some more shows. Everybody, you've been listening to Muskoka Unlimited Podcast, 88.7 FM The Bay, MuskokaUnlimited.com. You got to check it out. There's tons of cool stuff on there. And see everybody in a few weeks. Thank you. You've been listening to Muskoka Unlimited on 88.7 FM The Bay or www.MuskokaUnlimited.com. Stay tuned for more wonderful episodes on our show.